All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Ayin Dalet 74. We are picking up on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. Ila Asurin. Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Top. Ila Asurin, the Isu, Va'osrim B'chol Shabbos. These items are Asur, and they Asur B'chol Shu. They Asur in any small amount. So the Gemara says, what are they? Yayin Nesach. So again, as we've seen before already, Yayin Nesach. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Elo Asurin Va'osrim B'chol Shu. So Rashi says over here, Elo Asurin Va'osrim B'chol Shein, Kol Makom Shinis Arvu Sham Afilu Echad Be'elef, Lo Batal Va'osrin Eskulam. So I'll say, so these are items when they get mixed into a mixture, even if they are outnumbered in the mixture 1,000 to 1, they are still going to be Asur. So examples of this are Yayin Nesach, Va'avodas kochavim, idolatry. So this is actually interesting. Rashi says avodas kochavim is tsura sha'avduha v'nis arva be'elef tsuros shinan avodas kochavim. So this is actually quite interesting. Let's say you have an idol that got mixed in with other idols. You say, what does that mean? We've already seen that avodah zarah only becomes aser when it's worshipped. So let's say you have an idol that was worshipped that got mixed in with other idols which were not worshipped. So then halacha lamaisa again, it's not batal even 1,000 to 1. Va'oros livuvin, we'll say oros livuvin are ayin dalet amud aleph, 3 lines down. Two lines down. Oros livuvin, I will say, is when they would go ahead, and one of the ways in which they would sacrifice an idol to avodah zarah was that they would go ahead and pull out the heart from the hide. V'shar haniskal, so if that hide gets mixed in with other things, or shar haniskal, but says shar haniskal is an ox that is supposed to be stoned, which got mixed in with other oxen. Egla arufa, well, says egla arufa could mean one of two things. The carcass of the egla arufa, which remember again is the animal, which was, if a person was found killed in between two cities, they measured the closest city, and the elders of that city brought the egla, brought the calf, decapitated it in a dried up ravine. So it's like that egla either gets mixed in with other eglos, or a piece of meat from that egla gets mixed in with other eglos. Tzipori mitzora, which is the bird offering of the mitzora. Sear nazir, the hair of the nazir. Well, say, interestingly enough, the nazir, once he cuts his hair, so that hair is aser ba'ana. Peter chamer, firstborn of a donkey. Basr bechal of milk and meat mixtures. Seir hamishtaleach, we'll say, which is the seer, which is pushed off the cliff on Yom Kippur. V'chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. And for that matter, again, so v'chulin, which means a non-korbanic animal, which was slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Hare'ilu asur, we'll say, all of these items are asur. V'osrim b'chol shehu. And they go ahead and they make other things asur, even in a very minute amount, choshu, even in the smallest amount, if they get mixed in with something else, they make the mixture asr, and they are not batal. So says the Gemara as follows. Tana, my kahashiv. So we'll say, what the Gemara is asking over here is, what is the common denominator amongst all of the items mentioned here in the Mishnah? E davar sheba minyan, if you want to say ultimately again. So we'll say, davar sheba minyan means something that is choshiv, and therefore sold or accounted for in individual units. Look at Rashi. It refers to Rashi in the Gemara. E davar sheba minyan kachashiv, mishum dedarko limanos lo batal. But so you'll see this more in Chulin, because something ultimately, again, darko limanos means because it's so chashiv that it's normally reckoned independently. It's not necessarily looked at as part of a grouping, but rather, again, each individual item is reckoned by itself, Rashi says. Lo batal. Va'afilu la'visr hana, nachshav nami chatichos nevela. So listen to this. So if you're going to tell me that the common denominator amongst the items of the Mishnah is that they're a davar sheba minyan, there's something old, each of these items are so important that they're sold in individual units and therefore not batal. If that's the case, less than nami chatichos nevela. We'll say it should include in that also what? Pieces of nevela. Pieces of nevela meat ultimately, again, will be a davar sheba minyan, will be something that is sold as individual units, but ultimately, again, therefore not batal. But yet, that's not included in the Mishnah. Ivi Gemara says, isuri hanoka chashiv. So maybe you'll tell me that the items in the Mishnah are items that are aser bahana. So if that's the case, listni nami chametz bepesach. I'll say, listen to this. You can't make this stuff up, right? If that's the case, make it chametz bepesach. I will say, why? Because chametz bepesach, we know is what I will say, is aser bahana. as we're going to find out in just a couple of hours. Chamis is Asr Ba'ana. So why isn't that reckoned in the Mishnah? Am Reb Chiya Bar Amma V'Yitima Reb Yitzchak Nafcha Hay Tana Tarti Yisle. The truth is, this Tana Rabosai is actually folk, is including in the Mishnah things that satisfy both of these criteria. Number one, Davar Shebeminyan V'Issuri Hana. Rabosai, so all the items listed in the Mishnah satisfy two criteria. Number one, it's God of order. Number one, they are Asr Ba'ana. They are forbidden for benefit. And number two, each of them is a Davar Shebeminyan. Each of them are so chashiv that that they are normally accounted for as independent entities. And as we both say, in this context, this Davar Shebeminyan ultimately means that they are so chashiv, the Dako Limanos. Each item is normally accounted for separately. So we'll say, just to illustrate this, there are certain things which are only sold as groups. Right? So you buy a dozen eggs. You buy a dozen eggs. A person wouldn't, at least we'll call it contemporarily, because Rana Gemara might have been different, but a person doesn't go into the store and buy an egg. Is that correct? That's a correct statement, right? Right? You don't buy an egg, right? You buy a dozen eggs. So we'll say, so on the flip side, you buy a steak. You buy a steak. So a steak is what we call a davar shebeminyan. The idea is that each independent piece of meat is reckoned for its independent importance. Masha'in kein, a dozen eggs, which most says not a davar shebeminyan. So therefore, the Rabbi Yitzchak says that halacha l'maisa, the items included in the Mishnah satisfy both of these criteria. Number one, they are asr ba'ana. Number two, they are a davar shebeminyan. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, I v'leisei, egoze prach v'rimoni badan. So we'll say, if that's the case, why don't you bring in egoze prach, which literally means the egozim from prach, and the rimonim from badan, which we'll say these are places and food items. So this is a reference to Arla. So the Gemara says, the davar shebeminyan, the suri hana, that we'll say these are items ultimately, again, that could be asr because of Arla, but yet because of their high quality, they're also called the davar shebeminyan. So why not include these items as well? To which the Gemara says, "Hutani lehasam, haray le'arla arla, haray le'klayakarim klayakarim." Because we'll say these items are actually mentioned elsewhere by the Mishnayos concerning arla. Therefore, there's not a need to restate them here. V'lesni kikaros shel balabais le'inyan chametz bePesach. So we'll say, so why not go ahead and also add in kikaros shel balabais? We'll say kikaros shel balabais are home baked loaves. So why not go ahead and include those as well, I will say. So therefore, again, that would be an example of something that when it becomes chametz is going to be asr ba'ana, but yet it's also a davar shebeminyan, to which the Gemara says, man shamis da'amrali. So I'll say, ultimately, again, whose opinion is being reflected over here? Rabbi Akiva. So this Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara says, tani lehasam, Rabbi Akiva mosif, af kikaros shal balabayis. To which the Gemara says, the Braisa says elsewhere, that indeed Rabbi Akiva does add in kikaros shel balabais. So we'll say in Rabbi Akiva's, in a different Braisa, in which Rabbi Akiva is quoted, so not only are these items mentioned, Rabbi Akiva also adds in kikaros shel balabais, that the loaves, ultimately, again, of balas, and I want to point out, this is different than kikaros shel nachtum. Kikaros shel nachtum means baker's loaves. Baker's loaves are what? Mass-produced. So because they're mass-produced, they're not necessarily a davar shebeminyan. Now you could have kikaros shel nachtum that would be davar shebeminyan, like they call it these artisan breads. Right? So it's a little bit more chashiv. But kikaros shel balabais, if I bake a loaf of bread at home, I will say that is called a davar shebeminyan, and therefore again could also be asr ba'ana for chametz bePesach. So the Gemara just points out over here that according to Rabbi Akiva, he actually added in an additional item to this list. Kikaros shel balabais that become asr by Pesach. Good. So we'll say, so therefore again, everything mentioned in the Mishnah, we'll say bottom line, everything mentioned in the Mishnah is A, asr ba'ana, and B, a davar shebeminyan. Something that is, in each individual unit has an incredible chashivos. So when you put those both together, what do you come out with? You come out that these items are asr and osrin b'choshu. When they get mixed in with something else, they are not bottle, even in a ratio of 1,000 to 1. And that is because of this duality. Because they are asr ba'ana, but also because of the fact that they are a davar shebeminyan. This being a davar shebeminyan makes them so chashiv that they are not a bottle at all. Good, let's go weiter. Hari Elu. So it says, the Mishnah. So remember again, the Mishnah ended off by saying, Hari Elu Asurin Va'osur Mechoshu. All of these items mentioned here are Asur, and they Asur in any amount. So says the Gemara, Lemi'ute Mai. What does this come to exclude? So the Gemara says, Lemi'ute Davar Shema Minyan. Vilav Isuri Hanam. It comes to exclude the following. It comes to exclude something that is a Davar Shema Minyan, but is not Asur Ba'anam. So we'll say, if you have something that is a Davar Shema Minyan, but not Asur Ba'anam, ultimately, again, it would be bottled in a larger mixture. Inami, Lemeute Isuri Hanam, below Davar Shema Minyan. We'll say, or the other possibility is that what? It Asurs. It comes to Asur and Isur Hanal, that ultimately, again, is not a Davar Shema Minyan. Okay, so we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara is just saying over here, is that the Mishnah espouses a principle. The principle is, if something is Asur Bahanal and a Davar Shema Minyan, then what's the halacha? It's not bottle. And we'll say, it's not bottle even in a very large amount, i.e. 1,000 to 1. 1,000 to 1. The Mishnah then teaches me about, say, conversely, that's what? If you have an item that does not satisfy one of these two criteria, then what? Then it is batal. Okay, good. Mishnah. Yayin esech shenafal labar. What says Kavaiter? You have yayin esech that falls into a bar. Remember again, so they will say, this is a case, yayin esech is yayin esech. Shenafal labar. Bar will say, is the wine cistern. So you have yayin esech that falls into a bar of kosher wine cistern. So it says the Gemara, or a cistern of kosher wine, I should say. So what's the halacha? Kulo asur ba'ana. We'll say the entire bar becomes asur ba'ana. Okay. So Rashi just points out over here, actually not yet. Fine. So kulo asur ba'ana. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. Yimachar kulo lo obi kochavim. So we'll say, this is the sheet of Shimon Gamliel, which we've seen before. We'll say, so first of all, you already realize that this statement goes against a lot of what we saw in yesterday's daf. This idea, this blanket statement, that when the Yayin Esek falls into the bar, the entire bar is us. Must remember again, whose sheet clearly goes against that? Rav Dimi, excellent. Right, Rav Dimi is the one who said again, remember that the wine as it comes in is bottle. And even we saw, even if you reject Rav Dimi, it's only if it's coming out of a barrel, but if it's coming out of a tzluchis, if it's coming out, but okay, fine. But the Mishnah makes a blanket statement that when Yai Nesach falls into the bar is totally Asur Bano. All the wine in the bar is Asur Bano. But Rav Shimon comes along and says, no, it's not Asur Bano. Rather, you sell the entire, you can't drink it, but you can get Hana from it. You just have to sell the wine to an Oved Kochavim, and I will say, what amount can't you get benefit from? The amount that represents the value of the Yayin Esech. So that amount you can't get Hana from. That amount, well, Rav Shimon says, Yolech Hana Yam HaMelech, you have to throw it away, you can't get any benefit from it. Fine, says the Gemara. We'll say, Amarav, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chavis B'Chavis, Avalo Yayin B'Hana. We'll say, it's actually very interesting. So Rav comes along and says, we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but when? When barrels get mixed up. So we'll say, if you have a case of barrels of regular wine, which get mixed up with what? A barrel of Yayin Esech. Then Rav says, we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and what? Sell all of the wine to an Akum, and you take the value of one of the barrels, and you go ahead and Yolech Hanal Yarmelch. You throw it into the sea. Look at Rashi. Chavis b'chavis. We'll say 5 lines are from the bottom. Chavis b'chavis. D'shakil chado. V'shadi b'nara. You take one of the barrels, or for that matter, one of the value of one of the barrels, and you throw it into the river. V'inach nishtiru b'hano. And the rest of the barrels will actually be mutter b'hano. Aval yayin shenis ariv b'yayin kulo aser b'hano. So we'll say, Rav says, we pass gig from Shimon Gamliel, when you have a mix-up of barrels, then we can say, sell the barrels to the Akum, and just take the value of one of the barrels and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. But if the wine itself actually gets mixed up, everything is Asur Bano. We'll say, watch this. Ushmul Amar Shmuel says, Afilu Yayin B'Yayin. Nope. Even if wine gets mixed up with other wine, we'll say, so this would be the case of Yayin Esech, which gets mixed up with other wines, still, we will pass him like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Which means what? You could sell all of the wine to the Akum, and you just have to go ahead and throw away the value of the Yayin Esech. V'chein Amar Rabbi Abba Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Yayin B'Yayin. even if wine gets mixed in with wine. V'chin amar Shmuel bar Nasan amar b'chanina filu yayin b'yayin. V'chin amar Nachem amar bar Avua filu yayin b'yayin. So we'll say, so again, fundamental machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Here's the beautiful part. Both Rav and Shmuel are agreeing, that's what Rabbah say, are agreeing that halacha l'maisa, you pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore what? And therefore, she didn't have to do that. That's fine. I have the clock over. Both of them are passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore what? And therefore, halacha l'maisa are saying that when the yayin nesach gets mixed in with the regular wine, you could go ahead and sell the entire mixture to an akum. You just have to throw away the value of the yayin nesach. What's the machlokes? Rav says that's only if barrels of wine get mixed together. But if wine itself gets mixed together, the entire mixture is aser bana. Shmuel says, no, even if it's wine, you can still just go ahead and discard the value of the yayin nesach, but get benefits from the rest of the mixture. So both says, the Gemara says, Amram Nachman, halocha l'maisa. So Nachman says, how do we pass? Can halocha l'maisa? Yayin nesach. Both say, here's what's interesting. If we're talking about actual, bless you, if we're talking about actual yayin nesach, right, if we're talking about actual libational wine, so then what? Yayin b'yayin aser. Then I'll say, ultimately, again, if little, I'm fine, thank you, positive. If wine gets mixed in with other wine, right, if there's literally a mixture of wine, then what? Then I'll say, that is unequivocally aser. Can't get any benefits from that at all. Chavis b'chavis mutter. We'll say, but if you have barrels of wine which get mixed in with each other, then ultimately, again, it's mutter. We'll say, now what does mutter mean? Mutter means, as we said before, mutter means that you can go ahead and sell it to an akum, and you discard the value of the yayin nesach wine. However, we'll say, watch this. Stam yayin, we'll say, this is actually very interesting. Stam yayin means what? Means, again, non-libational wine, but wine owned by an akum. Then what? Afilu yayin b'yayin mutter. Then I will say, in that case, even if wine actually gets mixed in with wine, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, what we say is, you could sell the entire mixture to the akum, but again, you can't get the, you have to discard the value of the actual wine that got mixed in. So I will say, so a fascinating halacha l'maisa. So bottom line, I will say, who do we paskin like? Who do we paskin like? The answer is yes, right? The answer is we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but both a variation or a hybrid of Rav and Shmuel. So in other words, I will say, so when it's Yayin Nesach, so ultimately, again, we'll pass in like Rav, and we'll say that when it's barrels mixed together, then the Maisa, what do we say? We say that you can sell the entire mixture to the Akum, and you have to discard the value of the barrel of Yayin Nesach wine. But if it's actual Yayin Nesach that gets mixed in, the whole mixture is going to be Aser. But when it's Stam Yayinam, right? Stam wine, which we'll both say means wine owned by an Akum, but not necessarily used for libational purposes, then what? Then we'll both say, even if it's wine that gets mixed together, we allow you to sell the whole mixture to the Akum, but the scar, you have to throw away the value of the actual Stam Yayin mixed in. Amazing. We'll both say, Amadeus, Gat Shalev, and we'll say an interesting case here. Gat Shalev, we'll say you have a, Baruch Hashem, thank you for the coffee. You have a Gat Shalev, you have a stone wine press, good morning, stone wine press. Isn't it nice, we should do this setup in the other room. It's too big here. It's nice to be like, okay. Anyway, Gat Shalev, good. Gat Shalev. I'll stick to giving this year. Listen to this. So this is telling you about if you have a stone wine press. They both say, so just Rashi points out a very interesting point. They both say some of these halachas are very interesting because they also give you insight into the way things work, Bizman and Gemara. So if you have a stone wine press, look at Rashi. So the idea over is, Gat shall Evan, let me read the statement. Shazaf Sa'ovikhan, both say, Zaf Sa'ovikhan means that the Oved Kochavim sealed it. Right, he put a sealant on it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, so we'll say, the way you would normally go ahead and how would you seal a stone wine press? With like pitch or plaster, right? So we'll say the issue over here is the plaster apparently sometimes had a little bit of a smell to it. So what they would do is, in order to neutralize the smell of the sealant, they would go ahead and sprinkle some wine into the sealant. So the issue now over here is, you have a wine press which was sealed by the Akum, which I will say now potentially means what? That you have Yayin Nesach, in the sealant itself. So what do? Menagva v'hi tahora. So the Mishnah just says, all you need to do is menagva. Now, both say, menagva sounds like what? You dry it off. Right? Like nigov means to dry off. So we'll say, we'll see this more in tomorrow's daf, but we're going to see it actually means much more than just drying it off. Or rinsing it off for that matter. So menagva v'hi, right? You rinse it off, and it's tar. And we'll say again, rinsing, we're going to see, requires more than just water. V'hi tahora. V'shali, so we'll say, what happens if it's made of wood? Rashi says, "Debaya zefes tuva ubala chamra tvei." Well, says, listen to this. So apparently, wood requires more sealant. Wood requires more sealant. Therefore, we'll say, more sealant means what? Means what? More wine. Right? More wine. So, right, more smell, which means more wine. So then what happens if it is a wood press? So the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer Yinagev. So Rebbe says, well, say, same thing. All you need to do, Yinagev, you just go ahead and rinse it off. The Chum say, no, Yiklov es hazefes. You actually have to go ahead and what? Rebbe says, you actually have to peel off the sealant. If a Jew wants to use that particular press, he actually has to peel off the sealant. So the Gemara says, v'shal cheres, what happens if the press is made from earthenware, from cheres? So we'll say, in that case, even if you peel off the sealant, hareze asura, we'll say it'll still be asura. Why? Because apparently, we'll say, as we know from just Hilchos Pesach, from earthenware, what happens? The blia is too great. The absorption is too great, and even if you peel off the sealant, we assume that it still absorbed the wine. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Dafka Zavsa. We'll say this is dafka. When we say, when we're talking about over here a press, which we'll say ultimately again was coated with the sealant, coated with the, I don't know if pitch is the right word, but this the sealant, right? That's what you're doing over here. In other words, if you want a wine press, the idea is you don't want your press absorbing the wine for one simple reason, which is
cost money.
You want it to cost money, right? So we'll say, remember again, it's all about the money, right? It's all about the money. You're pressing wine not for your own health. You're pressing wine ultimately because the pashtos, you want to sell it or you want to drink it. Let's say, you hear me back there? Good?
What?
Shalom Aleichem. Right. I know we ran out of seats up front. I'm sorry. Right? So there are some people always have to be in the back. It's amazing. So the idea is you're sealing it because you don't want the press to absorb. So says the Gemara, Dafka Zavsa. So these halachas are coming on the Mishnah as Dafka, if you sealed it, Aval Darach Ba'lo. Rabbo say, if you went ahead, if this was used, Rashi says, Aval Darach Ba, Bishaino Zefusa, Lo Ba'ya Niguv Ela Hadacha. Rabbo say, as Rabbo will say, we will see that halacha lemaisa, right, this was before that, Niguv Rabbo say, the Mishnah's Menagva really is a washing down. So I might have thought, Rabbo says, I might have thought that Dafka Zavsad, when do you need this Niguv, which we haven't defined yet, when do you need this Niguv? Only if you coated it with pitch. But if it was just used, let's say an Akum used it to press grapes, and now what? Now I want to use it ultimately again to produce my own wine. I might have thought that what? That Darachba, that if it was used for pressing, I don't need the whole Yinagev process. Rather, all I need is Hadacha. But say Hadacha is a wiping down. I might have thought that Hadacha is enough. So the Gemara says, that's obvious. Pshita. Zav Satnan. We'll say, that is true. Meaning, the Mishnah Dafka states that when do you need this process that we call Yinagev? Now, we'll say, remember again, we're actually not going to define until tomorrow's Daf what Yinagev actually means. But one thing is clear, which is it is a more thorough cleaning process. I might have thought, so therefore, what would be Madaik from the Mishnah is as follows. When do you need the more thorough cleaning process? Only if the press was coated with this pitch, which therefore also included some Yayin Esech. But if the press was simply used for pressing, the Akum used it for pressing, and now I want to do a run of my kosher wine, all I need to do is what? Is to wipe it down. To which the Gemara says, that's obvious. Pshita, Zavsa Tanan. The Mishnah itself, Tafka says, Zavsa, that we're talking about a case where you coat it with pitch. That's when you need the Yinagev process. So I might have thought, not true, that even if the Akum just uses it to what? to press his wine, then maybe it requires the more thorough cleaning process of Yinagiv. V'hai diktani zavsa, and the reason why the Mishnah says zavsa, orcha demilsa katani, because the Gemara says it's just talking about, orcha demilsa katani means it's just talking about the more common normative case. The more common normative case is that the Akum went ahead and sealed the press. That sealant usually included some yayin esech. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling me yinagi. But inachinami, the halacha would be the same even if the Akum just used it to press his grapes. He still requires yinagiv. Kamashlan, that is not the case. But it's like Kamashlan, that the only time that you require this more thorough cleaning process of yinagiv is dafka when the Akum used his sealant. But if he just went ahead and what? If he just went ahead and pressed grapes, then hadocha cleaning out of the press is enough. Ikadamri, others explain about that. Ayin dalad amud beis, about 8 lines down. Ikadamri, amud rava, dafka zafsa. When do we say that the Mishnah's halacha of yinagev, of a thorough cleaning of the press, is required? That's only if what? If the press was sealed by the akum. Aval darach ba, Rabbi say, if halacha lemaisa, the akum used it for pressing grapes. Listen to this. Lo sagi le benigov. Then Rabbi say, perhaps, this is an alternate version. Nigov itself is not enough. Nigov itself is not enough. So what does it mean nigov is not enough? What do you need? Then Rashi says, lo sagi le benigov, ela bekiluf. We'll say now in this version what we're saying is, when do we say that the yinagev is enough? That's when ultimately again, just the akum used the sealant. But if the akum mamish trampled grapes, if he pressed grapes, then what? There's such an incredibly strong absorption. Then Rabbi say, then yinagev is not enough. What do you need? You need ultimately, like Rashi says over here, kiluf. You actually have to peel off the sealant from the press. Mishum da'ayil chamra bepili dezivsa. Because we'll say the wine gets into the cracks, ultimately again, of the sealant, to which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Pshita, Zav Satanan. We'll say, so you hear what's happening over here? In version number one, we assumed that if the Akum tramples grapes or presses grapes in the press, that's actually treated more leniently than the case of the Akum's sealant. In version number two, what we're saying is that what? Is that halacha lemaisa, if he tramples grapes inside the press, that's actually treated what? More chummer. That if he tramples grapes, in order to kasher the press, what has to happen? You literally have to peel off, like, the surface of the press. You have to peel off the surface of the press in order to kasher it. To which the Gemara says, Pshita zav satanan, ma'al detema, hua din dafilo darach ba, amara thatat halacha rabosai, of yinagev is true, even if what? Even if he tramples grapes in there. V'hai diktani zavsa orcha demilsa katani. And the reason the Mishnah said zavsa, that he coated it with pitch, we'll say, is because that's the normative case. Kamash bolo no. We'll say, kamash lan dafka zavsa, aval darach ba lo sagi le benigav. And Rabbi said, that is indeed how the Gemara is going to pass in halacha lemaisa now, that if the Akum coated it with sealant, so the problem with the Akum sealant is what? Is that it usually includes somewhat, Rabbi say, some yayin esech. So therefore, in order to go ahead and kasher the press, you have to go through the process that the Mishnah calls menagva, nigov. We'll define what nigov is in tomorrow's daf. But if the Akum mamish used it for pressing his grapes, then what? Nigov is not enough. You actually have to shave off the upper layer of the press in order to kasher it for use for kosher wine. Amazing. Kiyahuda asla kamed Rabbi Chiya. Listen to this. There was a guy who came before Rabbi Chiya. Listen to this. Amrle. It was an amazing maisa. Amrle, Havli Gavra, didachi li ma'atzar sasi, or ma'atzar soy. So he said to me, give me a guy. He asked Rabbi Chiya, essentially, we'll say, for a mashkiach. He says, Rabbi Chiya, give me one of your talmidim, who is going to be, literally, again, is going to be matar, is going to purify my wine press. In other words, he said to Rabbi Chiya, I need a mashkiach, give me a good guy who's going to be able to oversee my wine production. Amrli the Rav, supposed to Rabbi Chiya said to Rav, Zil Bahadei, go with the guy. So Rav was taught Rabbi Chiya for this mission. Listen to this. V'chazi delei mutzavchas alai be'midrasha. And listen, do a good job. Make sure no one yells at me in the base medrash. So what Rabbi Chiya was saying to Rav was, listen, do a good job and make sure no one has any shilas. I don't want anyone saying that the wine is not kosher in the my hashkacha. See, people say, some things don't change, right? So apparently, even Reb Chiya's hashkacha apparently wasn't good for some. So Reb Chiya says to Rav, to the mashkiach, listen, go ahead, oversee the kashas over there, and make sure no one has any tainus on me in the base medrash. So also, so Rav goes, he inspects the wine press. Chazi de havashia tfei. He said that the wine press was very smooth. Amar havadai benigov sagile. So he said, listen, because it's very smooth, then ultimately what? Yeah. All it needs, Rabbi said, is this nigov. Is this cleaning basic up. Cleaning process, and it's going to be good to go. Rabbi said, the idea is because it was smooth, therefore what? There is no concern about any type of yayin nesech absorptions. So therefore he felt all it needed was this yinagev. Bahadi de ka'azil, Vasi, as he was further inspecting the press, Chaza pila mituse, he saw that there were cracks on the bottom of the press. The Chaza davi mali chamra, Rabbi said, what did he see? In the cracks, there was actually wine. He saw there was cracks in the wine. Amar harlo sagila benigov ela bekiluf. Rabbi said, once he saw that, then what he saw, you know what? Nigov is not enough over here. This requires kiluf. Rabbi said, kiluf means a peeling off of almost like the upper layer of the press, like a scraping of the press. So what he saw is after he saw that there were cracks in the press, and there was actually wine pulled in the cracks, he said it requires a more thorough kashering process called kiluf. V'haymi da'amar le'chavivi, and Rabbi said, Rav was meticulous about this because he remembered the words of his uncle. Rabbi Chiya was his uncle. Chazi de'lo matzav chas alay be'midrash. So uncle, I'm going to make you proud. No one's going to have any tainus on you on the base medrash because we're going to do kiluf on this wine press. We're going to scrape it. We're going to kasher it. Everyone's going to drink from it, except those who don't. Tana Rabbanan, Hagat v'hamachatz v'hamshapik. So let's listen to this. So the Brisa says as follows. Gat is the wine press. We'll say machatz, we'll see, is another utensil of wine production, which we'll discuss. Machatz, we'll say, is literally like... What do you call it? Like a medicine dropper, but there's a name for it. Like a baster. You know what I'm talking about? It has like the squeezy thing on top, and you drop liquid from it. A dropper. Okay, good. Like a dropper, but obviously like a much bigger one. Or hamishapich. But say mishapich is a funnel. But say now in this case, all of these utensils were made from cheres. All of these utensils are made from earthenware. Shalov dehuham that all belong to earthenware. So say now the shail is what? I want to now go ahead and use it for my own kosher wine production. So I say, so what do I do of it? So what's that halacha? Rebbe matir b'niguv. Rebbe says you could kash them with niguv. Rabbi says I'm just going to point out we're using this word niguv over and over and over. We don't know what it is yet. Now niguv literally sounds like just like a washing down or a wiping down, but obviously it has to be more than that. So we'll see. Like I said, I keep saying in tomorrow's daf, we'll see ultimately to the bottom of this daf. We're not going to get to it till tomorrow. What it actually is. So we'll say. So what happens? Rebbe matir b'niguv. Rebbe says you could kash it just with niguv. The chachamim say. It's aser. We'll say that especially if earthenware, the blios over here are too much to kasher, therefore it will be aser. Umol de Rebbe bekankanim sho'ov dekochavim shen asurin. And Rebbe agrees, Rebbe says, in the kankanim, Rebbe agrees in the jugs made of earthenware that belong to the ov dekochavim, that they will be aser. Rashi says over here, mol de bekankanim shalcheres afapi she'in mizufafin shasurin ad shimalim gimel yomim mayim. So listen to this. This is one of the ways you can kasher earthenware under certain circumstances, is what we call milui v'irui, allowing it to soak in water for 72 hours, going ahead and changing the water every 24 hours. We'll say this is one. A sister concept to this is Haggadah three times. All right, the point over here is that Rebbe, who says that you can use these other utensils, if you just go ahead and do niguv, would agree that by kankanim, the earthenware utensils, you require a more thorough kashering process. Umah hefresh bein zeh lazeh. We'll say, what's the difference between this one and this one? So zeh machniso b'kiyum, v'zeh ein machniso b'kiyum. We'll say the distinction between them is that in kankanim, you have wine stored in them long term. We'll say, because wine is stored in there long term, then what? Therefore what? Therefore the absorption is of a greater intensity, and therefore halacha lemaisa again, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, it requires a more thorough kashering process. Masha'inkin on these other items, Rabbi was saying, the wine is only in there for a shorter amount of time, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, even a less thorough kashering process will be enough. Vishal eats, Vishal Evan. We'll say ultimately again, if the utensil is made of wood or the utensil is made of stone, Yinagiv. Ultimately, again, all it requires is this niguv. Rashi says, "Menagvan vein tohorin divrei akol kolzman shein mizufafin." Vim hayu mizufafin. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, if they are coated with pitch, then asurin. Then ultimately, again, it is going to be asur. V'hatnan gatshal even shezav savikha menagva v'itohora. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, but one second. But we learned that if the press is coated with pitch, that of the then all it needs requires is niguv and it's tar. Masistin de la darachba. But say ultimately the Mishnah is talking about a case of a press that was not used for grapes, that was not didn't have any wine press. Price said the darachba. Ultimately, and but say the price is a case where the wine was actively pressed on it. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a minute to show with this Gemara tomorrow. But again, just understand where we're ending off. Where we're ending off is as follows. That, first of all, we see this concept. We just were introduced to this concept. It's going to be the segue to tomorrow's discussion, which is that halacha lemaisa, the greater the usage of the utensil, then halacha lemaisa, the greater the intensity of the necessary kashering process. Because the greater the usage, the assumption is the more intense the blios, the more intense the absorptions, therefore the greater the need for the kashering process. Masha inkin, a utensil that may not retain wine for as long as of a period of time, will require a less thorough kashering process. So continue, Meretz Hashem, with this. Let me share with you a short idea for Erev Pesach.